Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening. Breaking the Silence with Greg Williams. My name's Greg. Just come on into my office here at the Pavilion for Women in the Department of OB-GYN with Baylor College of Medicine. So we're actually doing something a little bit different this week and next week. We are pre-recording these programs for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, just probably because of the busyness of what everybody has on their schedule, and to be more comfortable and more relaxed setting to where we don't have to feel like we're rushing to get from one event to the next. And we can just spend some time really focusing on the guests that we have. So I hope you enjoyed your Palm Sunday today and you're just sitting at home tonight with a cup of coffee or Diet Mountain Dew or whatever, just sitting back and relaxing, enjoying the day. And like we always say each and every week, and I always like to do this, that if you'll invest just a couple of minutes with us each Sunday night, I really honestly believe you'll be able to take something, not to just to learn, but that you can apply to your life to be able to help one more person, to be able to make an impact on another life. And maybe, first of all, we need to help ourselves just a little bit better. So I know tonight we have two young ladies that are just absolutely phenomenal that I got to meet. And thoroughly have become some of my favorite people already. And they're going to be our guests tonight. And this is going to be one of those that you want to go ahead and text your friends and say, hey, don't forget tonight at 8 o'clock. Hey, the show's starting, get on and start watching this, because this is going to be really, really impactful. And maybe motivate you to be able to go out and help somebody else and see what you can do in your own community, or at least in your own neighborhood, in your own home. Before we get started, I always want to let you know that at 832-396-6525 is my cell phone number right here, and it will jingle, vibrate, or at least show me a screen that you're trying to get in touch with me. Send me a text message if there's anything that I can ever do for you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if there's just something that you need, a resource of saying, hey, Greg, I'm having a bad day. How in the world can I get through this? 832-396-6525, and I promise you that's a 24/7 response time that I will get back to you to be able to let you know that I care, and always to remind you, if you want to lean in a little bit, that you're never alone, and you don't have to do this life alone. It was never meant to be alone, so feel free to reach out, and I would love to be able to connect with you. I always like to start off the program in just a few minutes, not to listen to myself speak, because believe it or not, I get tired of hearing myself talk, and I'm sure you get tired of hearing me talk too. But I always like to start off the program with something that I'm dealing with in life or this week, or I've just experienced, and how I got through it, or maybe what did I learn from it. And every now and then we hit a brick wall. We'll hit a speed bump or a pothole on the journey of life that ends up causing us to want to deflect or deter from what we know is our purpose, our destiny, or where we want to end up at. And what do you do basically when you don't want to keep on going. How do you keep that motivation, that energy of keeping on when you just don't want to go anymore? First of all, I want to let you know that this is a science of perseverance, that is very normal for when somebody starts a project or start writing a book or starts a new job, that eventually that first inclination of excitement is going to start dying down and you're going to get in that rut of life. And I think in one of my books, I mentioned that a rut is basically a grave with both ends kicked out. And when you get in that rut, I'm from Southern Illinois, and realize in those country roads that when you get your motorcycle or your car in one of those old dirt roads in a rut, it took everything of your strength to be able to get that steering wheel to kick you back out of that rut so you can go where you want to go. So it's a scientific impact of what your brain goes through with science of perseverance. But you have to get something that motivates you to be able to not stop. So how do you motivate yourself? One is maybe just make a list of a goal or two that you want to accomplish. Sometimes I have to do this, and I have sticky notes all over my desk. I have sticky notes up here. I have sticky notes all the way down, all the way across both of my computer screens. And I'm a sticky note person, but it helps me know, hey, before the day's out, I have to make sure I accomplish this, this, and this. And sometimes we believe that even though we know it's not possible, multitasking is something that, oh, I do wonderfully. Multitasking is an impossibility. Nobody can do two things at the same time, although we will try to drive and text at the same time. But we see the devastation of that every day when they're swerving and hitting curbs, or maybe you're doing it too, and almost hitting somebody or pulling out of a ditch or whatever, because you thought you could handle everything at the same time. Focus on a couple things and then just attack those and just work them down and put them in order. And don't damn yourself if by chance you only get through two or three of the 15 things on the list. That's why priority is a key. Put those things that you have to get done at the top of those lists. And I do believe in moving. You have to get up and move. And a lot of people will say exercise. Yeah, I'm not a big exercise nut. The most exercise I get is running from my recliner to the refrigerator and back during a commercial break on TV. And I only have about 8 feet between me and my refrigerator for my recliner, so it didn't take me long. But you have to move. You have to get up and move. And in that body movement, the endorphins get released, and it helps you stay focused on life. You need to also get a schedule. Stick to that schedule. I'm very regiment on that. I believe that when you need to get to work by 8 o'clock, you need to be there at 10 till 8 to make sure you're ready to go, not at 8:10 and then figuring out what you're going to have for breakfast down at the cafeteria. It just doesn't work that way in my world. I like to be early. I like to stay late. And I think you need to find a schedule that works for you and stick to that. Also, you may need to find out your whys. Why are you failing? Why are you not reaching it? Why do you feel like you're not getting that motivation that you need to end up going through? There is a give up itis that ends up being very popular in life. And it is a cause of total apathy, total loss of hope. That is followed often, it follows often a severe trauma in your life. And when you experience something devastating, you have to find something in life of not, hey, Lord, why did this happen to me? And we throw our hands up to heaven and go, oh, why me? Why me? Instead, get rid of the why and replace it with, what should I learn from this moment in my life at this time? What can I learn from what's going on, what I'm experiencing? And the why sometimes is not the question. It ought to be what. And because normally God will answer you back with, well, why not? Hey, if my son went through it, here we are going into Easter season. If my son was betrayed, ridiculed, mocked, spit on, went through all of this pain and agony, and eventually died on the cross for you, then what makes you think that you ought to get through life without some pain, agony, trauma, betrayal? If it happened to him, it's going to happen to all of us. So the best question that I like to replace that why with is, what can I learn? How can I become a better person and build up a characteristic in me that maybe I hadn't had before? And then find some people that can mentor you. You know, if you want to find out who you are or who you're going to become, look around the room with who you're running with, because that's exactly who you're going to be in a few years. The people you run with are the people that you're going to become. So do you really want to run with the dogs and get all the fleas? Or do you really want to run with the turkeys and never soar with the eagles? It matters who you put around you in your circle of friends. And never be sorry for letting somebody go and walk away if they are not bringing you up. If they're dragging you down, hang with them and try to help. But there's a time that sometimes you have to cut them loose and move on to bigger and better things and better friends for you. And just one, maybe one or two more. Let's just do one more. Stop comparing yourself with other people. You have your own destiny. You have your own game plan. And we can have our game plan like right here. And we can have it all pretty and it's all lined out just right. And then we'll see somebody else's and go, oh, let me see yours. And we want to take that. This is the game plan that you have. And don't try to compare yours with somebody else because you are wired, you are created, you are valuable, and there's things that only you can do and were made to do. Stick with your game plan and be who you have been called to be. And with that thought in mind, I'm really anxious to bring on our guests tonight because they have been called to a purpose that is so high that I applaud them. And I think of them often because of the passion that they have for their calling. And I want to bring into the program tonight Brooke Becker. She is the Prevention Education Manager. Brooke, welcome. And Sarisa Ingalls is the Interim Executive Director of a group and an organization that is called Ransom Life. So, Sarisa and Brooke, good evening. I hope I pronounced both of your names correctly. Can you
You
hear me
did
this
great.
evening? All right. Well, you're still smiling, so that's half the battle. How you doing tonight?
Doing great. Thank you for
Doing
having us
great.
on.
Good, good, good. I just want to start off by, first of all, saying it was a joy to meeting you a few weeks ago. It may at this point been maybe a month or two ago at a conference, and we ended up crossing paths, and I found out about you. You found out about me, and I really had a connection automatically with your smiles and with your heart for what it is that you do. First of all, and take turns, whoever you want to start off with, tell me what it takes to get you out of bed in the morning that says, this is what I am passionate about and I want to accomplish before I get back in this bed tonight. What is it that you guys, you ladies, are passionate about?
Wow, I'll start.
Okay.
Let me share just briefly about the work that Ransom Life does because it ties into what gets me out of bed in the morning. So Ransom Life, our goal is to see communities free from child sexual exploitation. And so we do that through prevention education and our counseling services, which also include mentoring underneath our counseling. And so, what gets me out of bed in the morning, truly is just helping that one individual, even if it's just one that we're going to help today. It makes it all worth it. And I feel like God had called me to this in college, and just diving into that like deeper, I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea like just the trauma level that the beautiful people that we get to work with have experienced. I've never experienced anything to that level. And so I felt like I just really didn't have anything to offer them. And so when I started as a mentor back in 2015, I had a friend tell me, "You have exactly what they need. Just bring what God has given you to the table, and He's going to multiply it and He's going to use it." And so exactly what you have is what they need. And so I've just kind of lived by that mantra, I guess, in kind of working my way up in the organization. And that's truly what gets me out of bed, is just being able to help the one individual.
Great. Hey, Brooke, what do you think?
Well, hello everyone. I'm Brooke, and so excited and such a pleasure to be here today. Similar to Sarisa, I felt very called to this mission. Really, in my case, I felt called to the broader work of prevention. I was sitting in college determining whether or not I wanted to go to nursing school and be at a bedside with people that were in suffering, or if I wanted to take the route of prevention and trailblaze really a career path that doesn't exist. It was a very scary moment for me, one that was very predictable and one that was very unknown. And I felt like I was supposed to do the unknown path. I was supposed to go down the path that didn't have funding, that didn't really have job careers, that didn't really have, a step-by-step path for me already created. And then I went overseas after college and I lived in Indonesia for a few months. And it was there that I actually went to a prayer meeting regarding sex trafficking in the red light district that I was living near. And it was there that we prayed for the victims, but we also prayed for the perpetrators, and that the forgiveness of God is both for the victims as much as for the perpetrators. And when I felt my heart break for both equally, I felt like maybe intercession for this topic was my calling. But then, as my career developed and 3 years into my prevention work, I found the prevention education manager position opened up. I've never felt stopped in my tracks. Like, this is what you fit 100% of this job description, which was pretty crazy for me. Those that know me know I can't stay up at night, and I stayed up and rewrote my whole resume, my whole cover letter, and submitted it at midnight. And that is just, there's only been two times in my life that that's happened. One that led to my salvation, and two that led to this job. So the reason that I get out of bed is because prevention for me is such an exciting topic. You never know who you're talking to. You never know if it's that person that has never been able to identify their trauma, if it's that child that their eyes are opened to the risks and the realities of what they could potentially fall into and save them from that trap, or it's a perpetrator that you are looking into the eyes and they might be feeling conviction for the very first time in their life. And I never know. I never know. And I think the excitement of you never know is actually what keeps me going. I love adventure and I love surprises. And man, that's prevention for you. So it's never a dull moment in my side of the world over here. So that's a little bit about me.
I think somebody said, since you're believers, I'll add something in at the end of this, but somebody said that there's the two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you realize why. And of course, being believers, the day you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. But when you both have expressed that you feel like this is your calling. How did you lean in to a calling that is so traumatic? And did anybody in your close world experience that type of devastation that caused you, or was it an experience like an Indonesia thing, or Sarissa, something that happened with you? I don't know, because you said you didn't have that kind of problem. So how did you end up leaning into this type of work? Because this is tough work.
I truly mine was my the time my eyes were first opened to trafficking really as a whole, and then child trafficking, was in college on a research project. And everyone that knows me knows I'm a very sensitive soul. I try, like, I will not go see sad movies. I just won't watch them. I won't do it. Because it makes me feel sad. And so we had like this whole list of topics that we could choose from. And I chose child sex trafficking, which is just like bizarre. Why would I do that? Right. And so, anyways, it was through that research project that I really felt God moving my heart towards the actual survivors. And so I just like dove in headfirst, super heartbreaking. And then like once I got to Ransom Life and started mentoring, she just truly, I like to say that she changed my life probably more so than I changed her life. But just really opening my eyes to something that I had never known or experienced. But just knowing, I feel like just being a vessel for God, like just literally allowing his love to flow through me to her and to everyone around her, to be able to impact her life. But she impacted my life in just ways that I feel like she probably doesn't even know. But it's an extremely hard topic. It's extremely, traumatizing, secondary trauma, compassion fatigue, all of that. I feel like I walked through early on as a mentor, and then even some of my involvement at my church, walking really closely with some people going through just really, really heavy, hard things. It's very easy to get that compassion fatigue and start to feel burnout. And so, even in the position that I'm in now, that's something that I'm trying to be extremely intentional about in like with our staff. With our mentoring staff, especially with our counselors, being able to incorporate stuff into our weeks and then self-care items and just stuff that we can do as a team to be able to fight that burnout. Because like you're saying, it's super traumatic and hard. But truly my answer is just by the grace of God. Just that he's called me to it and gives me, I feel like, the grace gift to walk through it and deal with it and love on these people. So,
That's good. That's
yeah.
good. You got a thought, Brooke?
My answer is a little shorter. I have always wrestled with this feeling of calling. I don't know why. And I bet there's other people out there that also wrestle with, what am I created for? And kind of how I've approached that is that there's certain things that light up more than others. One of those things just being in the hard places with people, and that I feel like is going to be an interchangeable, what does hard look like? And so right now it's with prevention about child sex trafficking and exploitation and what this looks like. And I really feel like taking it one step at a time. What is right in front of you? What can you do today? Who forms who you will be tomorrow is just how I tend to approach life, because some people get the whole blueprint. For some reason, I call my life trajectory like a lily pad. Like, and you can't get to the next lily pad until you hop on the first lily pad. And I just tell people, I know where I'm at right now. I don't know where things are going in the future. And so I hold it very loosely, but I'm so honored to be in this position and know that I'm meant for the hard things. I want to talk about all the things no one else will talk about. Just give me the floor. I'll help you get there. I'll help you understand it. And so I guess that's where I'm at right now.
Oh. And Ransom Life is located in San Antonio, is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. How big of a problem is this for people that are listening tonight and then eventually on the podcast world? They may, and often they do, overlook child exploitation and trafficking. Child didn't happen in my neighborhood. How big of a problem is this type of tragedy right now that's happening?
I'll let you answer, Brooke.
Well, as you see this map behind me, this is actually a map of San Antonio, and you can see it goes all the way up all across San Antonio. Underreporting, just like any other hidden crime, is underreported. We don't know what we don't know, but what we do know is that these hearts represent each of the clients that we have worked with at Ransom Life in the zip codes that they reside in. So none of them are exact addresses, but they represent one or more child that has experienced exploitation, either being physically sold for sex or exploited through pornography or online exploitation. And that is just a few years of our clients. We pulled that data about 4 years ago and put together a visual to really say it's not a common misconception that happens on one side of town or to one group of people. And the key is accessibility. Traffickers and predators hang out where young people are or where their victims that they're targeting are. And unfortunately, everyone is online, which means that there is a level of accessibility to everyone that people just don't truly realize. And so, unfortunately, it's in every part of town, every group of people. High end, low end, all socioeconomic statuses, all genders, all ages, every ethnicity, it does not matter. This crime does not discriminate.
Wow. You know, one thing I want to applaud Texas for, that if you want to get online right now and look up Pornhub and try to get on that porn site, you cannot in the state of Texas. Praise God for that, that they finally had the backbone to say, hey, wait, one of the largest porn industry sites in the world, Texas pretty well has shut down. I'm sure they're going to come back in some other way, because you can't take that kind of money away from people without them fighting back with another way of doing it. But isn't it wonderful that we live in a state that they're actually trying to put a dent, or at least a scratch, in this exploitation of kids that's happening online, and people are looking online to try to find it?
Yes, that was a huge, huge win, and we're just so thrilled. We understand a fraction of what truly how much the sex trafficking and pornography industries fuel each other, but it is just heartbreaking.
So, Sarisa, when you look at that map behind Brooke there, is there any part of that city that, hey, they are no way, they are guarded in such a way that they can't get to our kids here? Or is it all open game for these predators?
It's all open. Yeah, so that map, and truly some of it's even cut off. Like we weren't able to fit it all on this, but like all the way out to Burney. I mean, like all the hours plus outside of San Antonio. And truly, if they have one of these, they are at risk, period. Like it's that simple. Like if you have a cell phone and you're a minor or an adult, but you're a minor, you're at risk to being trafficked, or to being pulled in somehow. Like if you're sexting and you send a picture to your boyfriend, well, that's now out in the world, right? And so if someone gets a hold of that image, or even if your boyfriend gets a hold of that image or sends it to someone else, and then they can start demanding money, and then it leads to sextortion and just all if. If you have a cell phone, you are at risk. It's just really that simple.
Unbelievable. Tell you what, we're going to take a commercial break right now. Our only break, it takes about a minute and 22 seconds, something like that, then run this commercial. On the other side of this, I want to find out, since you mentioned it, the accessibility that the kids have to the world, but more importantly and more devastating, the accessibility that the predators have to our children. what some of the things that we can do to prevent it, and then what specifically on the other side of this break does ransom life do to be able to help prevent? And then, God forbid that if it does happen, how do you help them through it and all the resources that you have available? We'll be right back after this very short commercial break. Hang with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Alrighty, welcome back. We have with us tonight Sarasa Ingalls and Brooke Becker. Sarasa is the interim executive director. I always wanted to be an executive director of something. But congratulations on that. We hopefully that intern will be erased. And then Brooke is a prevention education manager. Tell me what some of those things that you try to help prevent. And how do you do that in the San Antonio area? By going into schools, going into Rotary clubs, going into, you know, how do you get this information out to the community to hopefully educate them on the issue that this is such a huge problem?
Yeah, I like to say D, all of the above. The answer is always all of the above. We do anything and everything that we can. We are currently educating anyone middle school and high school aged and older. We believe that the youth are the ones that we want to empower, but we must equip the community and everyone that surrounds a young person. So it's not just the parents. It's not just the school staff. It's not just the Rotary clubs or just the churches. It's everyone. We strongly suggest that everyone would be a trusted adult to a child, whether it's their own child or a neighbor or someone in their youth group at church or a school staff member for a child in their class. We just believe that every adult should be a trusted adult for someone or multiple people in their community. And so really our education, when we go into schools and we are talking to the students, we like to talk to them. Our presentation is called Lures and Lies. So what lures pull them into this world of trafficking, and what lies do traffickers feed them in order to get them there? What most people don't realize is that most young people go willingly, whether it's with someone that they know or that they think they know or think they can trust. And that's according to the Center for Missing Exploited Children. NetMec is an incredible resource. And I can throw out many more resources that are doing great work on how this happens and what are the stats actually looking like of people that are caught up in this crime from what we know. When we're talking to school staff, we're talking about not only is a school a trusted and safe place for students to go and learn, but it's also a grooming and breeding ground for traffickers to recruit. And unfortunately, we've seen a rise in friends recruiting friends. And you know that trust is the component of this crime. And so who do you trust the most? Will you trust someone that you've already known for years or a couple months and already have a connection with? And so when we're talking to young people, really getting their eyes to be open to the realities of how this could happen to them. No one is exempt. And unfortunately, it will happen to someone else. It won't happen to me or my child. School staff, be that trusted adult. See the child behind what's really happening, that bad behavior, that, and I know, Dr. Craig, you said you were a perfect child and you had straight A's and you were, so you might not have exhibited those signs of what is actually happening behind the child, but do you actually see every child? Do you see them for them as individuals and what they could possibly be going through? And it might not be that it leads to an outcry. It might be that they felt safe. And that safety is what kept them going. And then when we talk to parents, how do you have open-ended questions? This is not a one-time conversation of don't talk to strangers online and don't send a nude image. No, please don't stop there. We talk to them about having those constant open-ended conversations, talking to them. What has made you uncomfortable lately? Have you been talking with friends online that you don't know? What are some of the risks involved with that? Would you ever meet with someone that you've never met in real life? Would you actually meet up with them and be unshockable as a parent? How can you have those conversations that when they say something that you go, oh, I didn't want to hear that. How do you remain calm, move forward? I like to say stop, drop, and roll. Stop what you're doing, drop your emotions, and roll with the conversation. Tell me more. Mm. Tell me more about that. Cars are a great place to have conversations for parents. And so turn down the radio, put the seatbelt on, take a detour, run an extra errand. Utilize that quality time to have quality conversations. And wow. Anyone and everyone else in the community, we didn't even get to mention all the medical professionals in the state of Texas. You have to have a relicensure credit for human trafficking every 2 years. And we have a phenomenal medical team of two retired nurses, one that had decades of trauma work and one that was a school nurse, actually 2021 School Nurse of the Year. And they are just an incredible dynamic duo, but they actually teach our human trafficking training to all the medical professionals about how the patient and the client or the practitioner and the patient, how you have that relationship, and how you can identify and create a safe space for them. So that's the tip of the iceberg for how to be a safe space, how to prevent this. But if I could get it through to everyone, that it can 100% happen to you or your child. And so how can you do that extra step to be that trusted adult for someone, for someone else, for your child, for someone else's child? And how can you talk to your child and help them understand you are not exempt? You are not exempt. And we live in a hard time for children to be teens and kids. And I just feel like there's a higher calling on parents and adults across the board to really surround and uplift these children because they are doing great things. It's in them. And so how can we empower them to see it themselves?
Fantastic. Wow.
Can I just add to that?
Yes.
So in talking about the phones, I feel like a lot of time parents, they're very much like, what app, what do I need to be paying attention to? Because we do talk about the phones a lot, but truly it is what Brooke said, having those conversations with them and being able to empower them and equip them with the information to recognize when red flags are going off, when this is happening, then they're able to identify it, call it what it is, and essentially bring it to the light and bring it to a trusted adult to then get help. So I feel like parents a lot of times can get caught in the mindset of like, well, they can't have a phone at all, or they can't be on this app, or they can't be. And most of the time, that's just not the reality. But if we can empower them and equip them with the information to then know what to do if it does happen, is super important. So,
no, that's great, great wisdom. And, you know, I think, again, Texas doing the mandatory to get your license as a medical professional, you have to go through that certified training. I'm a certified Texas trainer for human trafficking. I do it about 30 times a year to medical groups around the state. Another pat on the back to Texas for doing that. And hopefully every state will do that and more. I mean, education is a key. But Sarissa, how about that old, who was it, McGruff, the crime dog or whatever? You know, we used to have those neighborhood watches. Is that kind of what Brooke was hitting at, that not only should we just watch our own home, but we need to be watching each other's backs. We have to be a champion for everybody, every child. That's the most treasured gift that we have on this earth is children. Shouldn't we all step up to the plate and say, hey, I'm going to protect each and every one that I can?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we have to. I feel like for the longest time, it's been like, it's none of my business, none of my business, blinders, blinders, blinders. And it's like, no, it is your business. Like, you've got to, like Brooke was saying, open your eyes and truly see the kid that's in front of you and what's going on. And so I think it's super important. And even on our youth presentation, we talk about that too with the kids. And it's like, okay, if this doesn't happen to you, you need to know this information to protect your friends. And just even going about it that way for the youth that are very like, this will not happen to me. But it's like, you need to be empowered with this information to then protect your peers. So, like, you have a job as well to protect your peers. And we've seen that happen. Like, we've had testimonies of, you know, a friend that was at one of our presentations. And their friends came to them with, you know, this happened and there's this older guy. And so they went and talked to, I think it was their parent, but a trusted adult to share that information. And it was able to get that other friend of hers help. And so the prevention piece is pivotal. It's key to what we're doing, because we've got to get out in front of the problem. And our goal truly is to prevent as many kids as possible from ever experiencing exploitation, trafficking, that trauma. Because once they've experienced that trauma level, I mean, it's years and years and years of healing and counseling and just a lot of other, I mean, mental health, physical health, like just the trauma that occurs. And so the prevention piece has to happen, so that we can get ahead of the problem.
You mentioned a word a while ago, sextortion, that I think a lot of the older folks like me that's got a lot of gray hair, more gray hair than dark, said, hey, sextortion, what in the world is that? Is that a not new because it's been around for a while, but is that a pawn in the game of getting them into the trafficking? Or is it more specialized on just trying to get some money out of them? How is sextortion and what kind of problem is that? Either one of you jump in on it in our communities now, because I think it's rising rapidly. What is
Yes.
it? What kind of problem is it?
Yeah. Well, the Department of Justice says that sextortion is the fastest growing threat to teens and children ages 10 to 17, and it has the highest number of child victims per offender than all other sexual crimes that exist right now. And so sextortion is a growing threat. Now, there's not really a clear-cut answer to what you're saying because it's really all of the above. People can be sextorted. And really what sextortion is when someone has sent a nude image or sexually explicit content, and then a threat comes following that picture or that video or whatever was sent. If you do not send more, I will send it to your family and friends. I will demand money, which often is much higher than people are able to pay, or else other threats that come in. There are threats that traffickers or predators or romantic partners use where that can be sextortion, where that threat to expose those images or utilize them for harm. And then there's the financial aspect of it, which this has just compounded the accessibility around the world. There are many cases where teen boys ages 14 to 17 are being targeted, explicitly targeted for this financial crime. Our FBI agent partners say that 50 to 60% of his job would be completely eliminated if young people just stopped sending nude images, because of just the demand that it increases to the ability of what can be done once following that. And there was another FBI quote that between 2021 and 2022, there was a 1,000% increase for financial crimes when it came to sextortion. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. Some of these cases end up with someone physically meeting someone because the threats have advanced to, please don't send them. I'll do anything, including being abused at the hands of an abuser, someone being physically sold for sex, or some teens see this as no way out and they unfortunately have committed suicide. And I can tell you many names that has been the case. Predominantly teen boys are being targeted for those financial crimes. Send me thousands of dollars. And if you don't, please don't do that. Please don't do that. I'll do anything. Stop. I'm gonna kill myself. And they said, go ahead, your life's already over because I have this content. And we always try to tell teens that your life is worth so much more than that image. And there are ways to walk through this and heal through this. And it's not just one socioeconomic class. Sextortion might be targeted for different, but teens that have a lot, that have a lot going for them might even be targeted for more because the threat of exposing that image is actually greater when they have a four-year college university signed letter. They might be a college athlete. They might have a lot of publicity behind them and a lot of at stake for their future. So the lengths at which they would go to protect that mistake are greater. And it's just a very unfortunate thing that is being happened to those that are online, and it starts out as something innocent. With these financial crimes, it can happen within hours. I'll tell you a story about a child named Ryan Montgomery. He was a high school senior. He had just graduated from high school, and he met a young girl on Instagram at 10 p.m. Was at home, was going to bed, and by 2 a.m., he had already exchanged flirtatious messages, pictures, content, and demands for thousands of dollars immediately followed after she sent a nude image, he sent one in return, and he wrote in his suicide note that he could not imagine any way out, and ended up taking his life because he couldn't imagine the shame of facing his parent about the mistake that he had made. And it just does not have to be that way. And so we are aggressively fighting each and every aspect of this crime, but sextortion is probably the fastest growing threat that it targets anyone and everyone because of the
Was this
success
the
they
one
have.
where he was the high school football quarterback? Or it was
No.
from Colorado? Because that's another one I just heard of recently. He thought he
Yeah.
got a naked picture of his girlfriend. He ended up being a man in Nigeria, sending it, and he ended up killing himself. Here
Yes.
was a star quarterback,
I'm
and
sorry. I made a mistake. Ryan, his last name was not Montgomery. I can't remember his last name, but Walker Montgomery was the one that you're thinking of. And Walker's story is very similar to Ryan's, but unfortunately, he was actually chatting with a girl that was not posed. Well, she was posing, but she was real. But there was a third party, kind of involved, and that's how that crime took place. And we are
Is Snapchat the one where the picture disappears?
yes.
Is that really disappearing?
No, nothing is actually disappearing.
That's what I thought. And I think that's everybody's figured that out by now. But this is landmines that our children are walking in, and our parents need to know, hey, wait, don't walk through that field. It's going to explode on you.
Yes, we're very passionate about that as well.
So, Sarissa, how different, as we are winding this up and turning the corner to close, how different is Ransom Life than the other prevention organization on the other side of town, or the ones that we have here in Houston, or in Dallas, or all the other wonderful cities we have in Texas? How's Ransom Life? What's that forte of level that you guys have that makes you say, this is where we excel at? What makes you all different?
Yeah, so we're unique in the fact that we are on both the front end and the back end. So we're on the front end with our prevention, and then we're on the back end with our counseling services. So, well, and what makes us even more unique, our counseling services are kind of on the front end and the back end. So, even if a child is at risk to exploitation, maybe they've not experienced it yet, they can qualify for our counseling services, which is preventative. And so our counseling services are for 11 to 24 year olds, and they can receive individual counseling as well as family counseling, and then their family qualifies as well for services at no cost with Ransom Life. So really our goal is to surround the entire family unit, because once this trauma has happened, it happens to the whole family unit. Like, those siblings have gone through trauma, they've seen what's happened to their sister or brother. The same for the guardians, the parents. And so we really try to support the whole family unit, so they can receive, the family members can receive individual counseling as well and family counseling. And then we also have a mentor program, which I had mentioned earlier. So when we launched in 2015, we were actually just a mentor program. And really, that's trained adults to walk alongside the life of a youth and whatever goals they want to set. So some are very goal specific and they want to get their driver's license and their GED, and they have all these goals, which is great. And then others just want to build a relationship, and that's great too. We are here for any and all of that. And so whenever they are enrolled in our counseling and they've been going to counseling, and our counselor feels like they're therapeutically ready for a relationship, then they are internally referred into our mentor program. And so then the mentor gets to be like a wraparound support for them as they continue to walk out their counseling and their healing journey. And our goal, really, we just ask our mentors to commit to a year. Our goal is for them to have like a lifelong relationship, to really be able to build a trusted relationship again so that they can trust people again. And so that's our goal, is for them to walk, 5, 10, 20 years together in life and just do life together. So yeah, that's really what makes Ransom Life unique. We're on both sides of the pie, I guess you could say. We're on the prevention side as well as the aftercare side, working directly with the families.
That's fantastic. As we close out, I want to make sure they get the opportunity to find out how can they get in touch with you. What's the best way if somebody wants to support? What's the best way if somebody wants to just reach out for resources? And if they want to get involved maybe in the San Antonio area, how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so it's actually going to be our website, which is ransomedlifetexas.org. That is where you can find anything and everything. So our prevention stuff, request a speaker. We would love to come train any and all of your people. And then our counseling service as well, our referral phone number, if we need to talk to someone, is all on our website. And then you mentioned support, so I have to do our plug for,
Yes.
we have a match going on right now with Kronkoski Charitable Foundation. So they have provided us with a $75,000 match. And that's for any new donors to Ransom Life. They will match dollar for dollar up to 75,000. And so we are actually just over the $50,000 hump. So we have 25,000 more. So anyone listening, we are expanding our services. We just brought on another counselor. So now we have three full-time counselors. And so if you are looking to support us, now would be the time to do it, because your donation would actually be doubled. And then that can be found on our website as well. So if you go to ransomlifetexas.org, there's a donate button in the top right, and all the Kronkoski information is on there as well.
Is Texas spelled out or just
It
TX?
is. The whole
Is
thing is
spelled
spelled
out.
out. It's long.
Okay. RansomLifeTexas.org. And
Yes.
then what? I'll be coming up soon, right? We have a prayer breakfast or something going on. When is that?
That's in August. So I don't have like the official date nailed down with our location, but it is going to be in mid-August. And yes, Dr. Greg is going to be our speaker, and we are
Great.
super excited about that. But really, the goal of our prayer breakfast, yes, it's a fundraiser, but The goal of it really is to unite the whole city in prayer and to bring different facets, so law enforcement and churches and businesses and individuals together to hear this important message, and to be intentional about praying about it.
Fantastic. Brooke, you got any final thoughts before we close out? Anything
Yeah,
else on your heart?
I just want to say that if you are interested in seeing our education and you are somewhere else around the world, this does look a little bit different internationally than it does domestically in the US. So also utilize those resources as well. Do some research. But on our website, we do have many resources on there as well as our presentations available. So we would just selfishly love for you to educate and watch those presentations and be able to protect you and your family as well as those around you. And please be a trusted adult to a child. See the children around you and believe in those young people. They really need to be believed in. It's a hard time to be a teen.
I tell you what, I thought I would really have, because I only had two or three talking points. We didn't even get through the talking points we had. I gotta have you ladies back on again. Fantastic, fantastic interview and information that you've shared. I love your hearts, and you can see it. It's so visible through your smiles and your eyes and just in the way you speak. I applaud you. Keep up the good work, and thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank
Thank
you.
you, Dr. Greg.
Looking forward to being up with you in August. That's going to be awesome.
You're excited.
Thank you and God bless. Like
Thank you,
I
everyone.
do each and every Sunday night, I always like to end the program by letting you know no matter what you're doing right now, what you're experiencing right now, if you're caught up in this extortion stuff and you go, "What? I have no hope." Oh, take a breath. There is hope. There's always hope. There's people out there that will help you, that will come along beside you, that will grab your hand and be on that journey with you. You don't have to do this and experience this alone. If you are a parent and you go, "I just don't think there's any hope for my child, they're too far gone." As long as they are breathing, folks, there is hope. Never give up on hope. When you have two awesome ladies like we just listened to this last hour, are they willing to help you? Are you kidding? There's a lot of people like that in this world that wants to be able to reach out to our kids and protect our most valuable treasure that we have in our communities and our cities. There's always hope. Thank you for joining us, Breaking the Silence. Join us next week for another edition from this most awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. God bless you. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.